has promised a conversation on a Pan-African initiative. Leading this movement is Ras Mubarak, a former Ghanaian lawmaker, journalist, and lifelong advocate for African unity. He is currently spearheading the Trans-African Tourism and Unity Campaign, a 63-day journey across 39 African countries to rally governments and civil society around the vision of a borderless Africa. I am now joined by him to dissect the urgency and vision behind this campaign. Let's start with the big picture. Why is visa-free travel such an urgent issue for Africa right now?
The world is changing so rapidly, and Africa's population has ballooned, currently at 1.4 billion, majority of whom are young people who are restless, who are energetic, who need jobs, who need opportunities. You know, and the sooner Africa got united, you know, the better for the many young, teeming young people who are, you know, desperate for opportunities. And this also comes at a time when other continents are looking inwardly. You know, you see Americans talking about America first, Europe looking more inwardly and more bigoted. You know, and if we put our act together, if we started trading a lot more amongst ourselves, you know, we would be able to create a lot of jobs and opportunities for our people. If you look at tourism revenue in Africa, our share of the global tourism revenue is about 1.9 billion, Jane. Africa could quadruple that, you know, if we promote strongly intra-African trade and, you know, reduce the restrictions, you know, through borders, etc. You know, so we are hoping, engaging civil society, engaging governments, you know, engaging the media, and hoping that African leaders would listen. And as you may be aware, the African Union has set a target of 2063 to be able to make Africa borderless. Jane, I don't know where you will be, but I do hope that you will still be around by 2063. But to tell you the truth, the African youth does not have the time, you know, to wait till 2063 for opportunities to be created. 2063 is a lifelong, is a lifetime. So we are hoping that these things can be done within the next 5 years. I mean, Kenya has just done it. Kenya's, you know, thrown open its borders and asking all Africans to come in. You know, Rwanda is doing it. Republic of Benin is doing it, etc. You know, so this is something that can be done. And it is for our own good, for our own benefit, you know, that we traded more amongst ourselves, that we created opportunities, and then we should stop being suspicious of one another. You know, I strongly believe that if you're able to do this, Africa would be greater.
How does free movement of people fit into making African continental free trade area truly effective, Ross?
Well, clearly, when people get to move, if I understand you correctly, they're able to, you know, they're able to spend. You know, they spend at the borders, they spend to pick vehicles, you know, they spend in hotels, in Airbnb, they buy souvenirs, you know, they travel to trade, etc. So there's always, you know, exchange of, you know, resources and currencies. And this certainly feeds into, you know, AFTER's own agenda. Even though I'm beginning to see a lack of impetus by the AFTER Secretariat, you know, I strongly believe that they can do a lot better than they are already doing. And I think they should be in tune with the challenges of the time than they are currently, you know. But, you know, this is a non-state, what we're doing is a non-state campaign, you know, whether at SADC level, you know, whether at ECOWAS level or even at the AU level. I mean, to think that after independence, you know, after, you know, all the struggles to get us political independence, we would still be haggling and not be conclusive and decisive over having, you know, a borderless Africa now, you know, tells you clearly how out of touch, you know, the people who are making the decisions are, you know, because to set an agenda for 2063 clearly is out of sync with the aspirations of the youth of Africa. And we are trying our possible best to make sure that it's as, you know, a mass movement as possible, where the calls for a united Africa is not only coming from, you know, the top, but coming from bottom, from civil society, from the media, from grassroots, from individual Africans who are sickened. I'll just give you a typical example. It cost us 2,500 Ghanaian cedis, which is around $230, to get visa to Equatorial Guinea, where we are. And this is one of the most expensive visas we have, you know, had to acquire. You know, to get to Congo, the Democratic Republic of Congo, you know, we had to pay $250. I mean, this is clearly not acceptable. Europeans and Americans are harassing us when we want to go through their countries. And in our own countries, too, you know, we get huge bills for visa fees. And even when you have the visa fees, you know, it's still a struggle. I'll give you another example. So we picked e-visas to Cameroon. And guess what? We got to the border only to be told that Cameroon does not accept electronic visas at land border. And that we had to drive 5 hours back to Calabar in Nigeria to get stickers in our passport and drive 5 hours back. That's 10 hours on terrible roads on a rainy day. And you can imagine how the stress, you know, how much stress we had to go through, you know, just to get Cameroonian visas to, you know, come into Cameroon last week. So that's a real challenge of the African who is moving from one country to the other. I mean, I don't mind, you know, the searches, because countries would want to ensure that people coming in, you know, are not coming to cause trouble. As you may be aware, for a country like Equatorial Guinea, for instance, people, especially Westerners, have hidden under the guise of being Tories and media people to bring in a lot of guns. So it's all right for governments, you know, to want to search people coming in. But if you make it difficult to the extent that you advertise for electronic visas only for people to get to your border for you to tell them that you don't accept, you know, electronic visas, clearly is something that would set your country back in terms of your ability to generate revenue through, you know, tourism numbers.
Of the 39 African countries that you're due to visit, you have already visited five of them. Russ, what has the response been like so far from the governments in terms of your agenda and response from the ordinary citizens as well?
Oh my goodness. The ordinary citizens are amazing. You know, the responses, everyone who sees our vehicles, you know, everyone we engage either in a restaurant or a hotel or by the roadside or at the border, is quite excited that finally, you know, we're talking about this and they can't wait, you know, to see these things happen. You know, at the governmental level, your response in Benin, for instance, was very good. Nigeria, likewise. In Cameroon, I was supposed to be in Cameroon on Thursday of last week. At the capital, we're supposed to be at the capital on Thursday of last week. As a result of delays and borders along the way, we got to Yaoundé on Saturday. And so there was zero official engagement with Cameroonian and, you know, officials. And for me, it was an eye-opener, you know, because seeing that this is one of the challenges, knowing that this is one of the challenges we had to go through, you know, but we are not, you know, deterred by, you know, some of these things. We are fully prepared in our minds that, look, it wasn't going to be a walk in a park. It was going to be a grueling, a very difficult, you know, campaign. And so we're quite psyched up in terms of the difficulties we would encounter along the way. So Cameroon wasn't entirely surprising. But, you know, equally, Equatorial Guinea, they've been very warm. We're leaving here tomorrow for Gabon. And we hope that Gabon, you know, Congo, Congo DR, Angola, and then Namibia would be as warm as Benin and Togo were when we started the journey.
If critics might argue that issues such as security, migration, pressures and infrastructure challenges could slow down visa-free travel, how do you respond to those concerns, Russ?
Well, certainly. I mean, if the roads are terrible, it would be difficult for people to come in. If airport taxes are too high, it would be difficult for people to come in by air. But the security challenges are something that can be dealt with, you know, through the use of technology, through the use of training and retraining, having robust biometric systems, you know, that identify clearly people who are coming into, you know, one country or the other. So in terms of the security challenges, I think people are just trying to find, you know, excuses not to make this happen. But certainly, I would agree that the roads are terrible, and we've driven through some, my goodness, back-breaking, you know, roads in places like Nigeria and Cameroon. It's been very smooth in Equatorial Guinea, and I was really, it was my first time here. I was really surprised that, you know, they have developed in terms of the levels of infrastructure to the levels I was witnessed here. It's world class in terms of the roads here. And African leaders would have to add the issue of building, you know, proper infrastructure as, you know, as a tool to expanding trade, to expanding the movement of people, so that travel within countries by land borders can be seamless.
If African leaders were listening to you right now, Ross, what is the one thing you'd want them to do immediately to make this vision a reality?
To make a commitment that within the next 5 years, they would, you know, implement fully a visa-free policy. But I would say this also to African leaders, that Africa's time is now. They have a unique opportunity, you know, to make it happen. And that if they did make it happen, history would be very, very kind to them. And those who stand in the way of African unity would certainly be remembered badly for the roles that they've played in keeping us backward.
That was Ras Mubarak, former Ghanaian lawmaker and leader of the Trans-African Tourism and Unity Campaign, reminding us that Africa's time is now and that unity is not just a dream, but a practical step towards unlocking trade, tourism and opportunities for 1.4 billion people.